Devlin Bishop here with you, and welcome to Devlin's Mondo Nostalgia Radio Show. How are you doing? I hope your summer is going really well. I know it's been hot the last couple of weeks. Hopefully you're finding ways to stay cool and everything. And thank you for joining us here on this, whatever day it is. I can't really say. It's a podcast. But thank you for pressing play. I do appreciate it immensely. I can't put into words just how much it means to me that you've taken some time out of your busy schedule to listen to me. And hey, if you're listening to me while doing something else, that's cool too. I like that you're multitasking. Just be careful if you're driving or something. I can be quite charming, and I don't want you to run off the road or anything, or worse. I'll start with saying I'm a little low energy today. So if you sort of feel I'm a little off, or if I'm all over the place, that's the reason why. And hopefully I'm going to be talking about some stuff that will put me in a better energy level. I don't even know if I'm sold. I don't like using the term low energy. I know it's become a thing. I always say my heart's too full. That's my thing. Since, you know, that's my saying, I wanted to let you know what I'm going through. And I know low energy has won the popularity contest in saying that. But yeah, my heart's really full today. So I thought, hey, let's do a podcast, because that's how I started doing this podcast. So let's go on. Now, when I changed the name to Mondo Nostalgia, I did imply that I would be concentrating more on nostalgic things and pop culture and stuff like that. But I also said that it's still got my name on it, which means occasionally I will delve into some personal stuff. So you might get a little bit of that today. So hopefully it doesn't scare you away. I'm still going to talk about a lot of interesting things, but we're not going to feature a lot of pop culture today, just maybe some memories of mine, you know, some things that I'm going through that maybe I can motivate to help you go through too. We're going to start with adventures, little adventures that we do. Everybody thinks when you say the word adventure, it means you're, you know, planning a trip, or you're going to climb a mountain, or you're going to hike, you know, 24 miles. But you know what? Those are all adventures. But you know what? An adventure for some could be easily as just going out for a walk, or just, you know, even walking around a mall. I know it doesn't seem like an adventure to everybody, but you know what? Just getting out there is a big deal. And I know it's hard to do. And I know I have a lot of friends that get to a point where they're just unmotivated and they just can't do it. You know, whether they're dealing with depression or anxiety or low energy. And I get it. I totally get it. But it's hard, and I can talk myself out of socializing when I have those days. And some days it gets so bad, I do, because I know I'm not going to be any good socializing and stuff. But a lot of times I feel that when I do actually get out and do some things, I feel a little better. You know, there are a set number of people that I can go to that I know I don't have to perform for. Now, I don't want people to take that in a bad way, but sometimes, you know, if you're not in a motivated spirit, it feels like you're performing. You know, it's not that you aren't. You're not having a bad time with these people or anything. It's just you're really having to push it to be there. And then there's some people that, you know, they take you as you are. And you got to watch, because there are some people that say they'll take you as you are, but then there's some that will actually mean it. And these are the ones that you can, you know, have an adventure by just, you know, you want to come over, we'll watch some like sappy movies or, you know, retro classics, and we'll eat some ice cream or junk food or something like that. And, you know, those are the friends you really want to keep close, because they're great to have. But sometimes you really should push yourself to get out there, because sometimes all it takes is some fresh air, some sunshine, you know, even on a rainy day, you know, maybe not torrential downpours, but when there's a light rain in the air, sometimes that can pick up my feelings. Sometimes, you know, I can put on my Walkman and just go and walk, and I'll feel revitalized by, sorry if you hear little breaks, that's me sipping on water, or I also have a Kool-Aid juice pack I'm going to, because I'm retro, so I'm doing Kool-Aid. And you should stay hydrated on times like these. So there you go, my little Another lesson on top of another lesson. But sometimes I can just put on Walkman, go into a light rain, and I'll feel good after a while. I'll try to forget things, get out of my head. And so it's important that, yes, I get that sometimes it takes everything that you have in your being to get out there and socialize, but sometimes it's a necessity. And it might not be successful, but you took the chance and you tried, and that's the important thing. And as I said, adventures don't have to be these grand things. They can be literally calling up a friend and saying, "Hey, you want to go for a walk? You want to go for a hike? You want to go for a drive somewhere? You want to look around the mall? We might not buy anything, but we'll wind up talking or laughing or joking or something. You want to go to a movie?" Sometimes there's nothing more wonderful than just being able to be quiet with somebody, and just knowing they're there is enough. And even taking an adventure doesn't even always mean being with someone. If you can't find someone, learn to enjoy your own company. And yes, sometimes that is sitting with a, bag of chips or something like that. Something like that, or and just sitting watching an old movie or a TV show or what. And yeah, you need days like that. But sometimes you gotta just motivate yourself and just get up off that couch and either make a call or grab your jacket or grab your Walkman or grab a book. Maybe you want to just go into the park, find a nice shady area, and then just sit and read on a park bench, or maybe even a beach, grab a beach blanket and just enjoy the time. And I can't stress enough how these little things mean the world to me. Sometimes I have a friend like my producer Corda. Sometimes I know she gets the same way as me, and sometimes I'll call up and I'll just say, "Hey, I'm kind of low energy. You want to come over? We'll maybe play a board game or watch an old TV show or something." I can't think of many times that me, Mike, and Heather were just sitting around watching old Leave It to Beaver or I Love Lucy or old British comedies like On the Buses, because they're comfort food to me and they don't have calories, so it's nice. And after she comes over, we hang out together. I can usually tell that, wow, I think she needed this too. And we always forget that because we live in an age where we think about ourselves, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But sometimes it's nice to realize, hey, I think I just made that person smile. And I find that sometimes that actually helps me a bit and puts me in a better place. I don't know why I'm tearing up right now, but I am. So I can tell I'm really emotional today. So this should be a fun show. Luckily, I have some Kleenex nearby just in case. So anyhow, I know sometimes it's hard, but do it. Take a chance. Call a friend. Grab, your shoes, your walking shoes, whatever you want to do. Ride a bike. Go ride some bikes, something. Do something. But you got to get out there. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Life is hard, but we can't always retreat from it. We sometimes need to face it. And sometimes just walking down the street and, I know it doesn't happen a lot in the world, but every once in a while you get somebody who smiles at you or somebody who says hello. And when you say hello back, you're thinking, hey, that was quite nice, But you can tell you're in a really bad mood when you're thinking, what's that weirdo want, But you know what? Sometimes I'll see somebody, I'll give them the smile and I'll say hello. And, I thought about it. What's the two things that can happen from this? Number one, you smile at somebody, say hello that you've never know, and they smile back at you, and you've made that person smile, even if it's just a small, awkward smile. Or two, they have a funny story to tell, or like, what, what's that idiot want, They have now got, some guy said hello to me and smiled at me, and people like to revel on, revel in little stories like that. So I've either made them give me a quirky smile back, or two, a genuine smile. And we'll add a third one. I gave them a great story about, hey, this idiot said hello to me. And hey, it's a story. It's something. I matter in the world. They matter in the world. We've connected. So get out there, do an adventure. I prefer that you finish listening to my podcast first, but if you're really low energy and I've just inspired you, I can't really stop you. And the good news is you can pause or stop this and come back to it later. So yes, if you, I've just inspired you, leave this podcast immediately. But if you can wait a little bit, go on. I'm going to try to inspire you more later, but I got to go down memory lane because mondo nostalgia, I got to put a little nostalgia in an episode. Oh, I'm breaking up. I think I need another drink. Anyhow, I wanted to talk a little bit about camping. I don't know why, and I apologize. As I get older and I have more and more episodes, I'm preparing my Kool-Aid. So if you're hearing a wrapper, I'm taking the straw out. Boy, we didn't have, you know, little packets of Kool-Aid when we were kids. We always had to, you know, get the jug out and put the 8, you know, cups of sugar that we needed. Anyhow, I may have talked about these camping stories before, and I apologize right now in advance. If you have heard this story, you can fast forward or rewind. Yeah, that's always a good one, you know. Listen to my last segment again. It was good. I was pleased with it. Hold on, I got a frog. I'm going to drink Kool-Aid here for a minute. It's cherry, if you're interested. If you have to know everything about my life. Yum. Okay. When I was a kid, I was a big orange and grape man, but as I get older, I really like the cherry. Yeah, I'm running out of things to talk about. No, I'm kidding. This actually is a nice segue, because I'm sure I drank lots of Kool-Aid when I camped. Now, first of all, if you're picturing me camping, you're probably laughing, because in past podcasts, I've mentioned how I'm really not the biggest fan of camping or the outdoors. I love the idea of it, but at the same time, I don't like the concept of it. You throw me some insects or some bad, bad weather, and I'm out of there. But when I was younger, I actually did get a chance to go camping with a family. Now, the first time we went was kind of a nice experience. Actually, all the times we went were a nice experience. The family was named the Massalios, and they used to have this camper. And I wish I had a better memory on exactly where we went. I know we were... I want to say we were in Timmins, but I could be wrong. We were definitely at the place where the big nickel was. I should have done some research, but I was lazy today. As I said, low energy. You know, looking at fail videos rather than like researching for where is the big nickel? Anyhow, I know we were up there and we went to several campsites and they had like a canvas trailer. And I know I have talked about the trailer before because I remember how they'd always freak me out because of the fact that they'd always say, whatever you do when it rains, don't touch the canvas because it'll make it drip. And, you know, as a kid, you're kind of like, really? I don't believe that. So, you know, when you're lying there trying to sleep in the canvas trailer, you can't help but want to touch it. I was a good boy. I never touched it, but I have seen it happen with other people. So I do know now it does work. So kids, do not touch. Do people even use the canvas trailers anymore? They're basically like a metal trailer and then you fold it up and it has places where you can sleep. I never ever stayed in a tent overnight. I kind of like the concept of that, but then when my head thinks of, again, insects or crawly things that are crawling, it kind of puts me off. But I do actually like the concept of it. And hey, you know, when I see like guys telling me, yeah, I like to go and just grab a tent and some sleeping bags and go up, you know, I'm probably want them because I think that's kind of hot, that whole getting back to nature. But me, not so much. But hey, getting back to nature for me is like when we went to these cottages, I remember there were community bathrooms. So, you know, you'd hook up your trailer and stuff, but you'd still have to walk to go to the bathroom a little bit. And I remember there was community showers and, you know, you might be wrestling a bear in the forest, but there's nothing more natural than going to a community shower where you don't know who the hell's been in there, you know, foot fungus. I have foot fungus, nail fungus on my feet. I could date back to the 70s when I was a kid. But anyhow, I loved going with the Massalios. And I remember one time, I think we went for about a week, and every couple of days we'd move to a new trailer park, and we just, you know, and it was a lot of fun. The Massalios were neighbors of ours. I was friends with David, and I also knew his siblings, Marianne, Teresa, and Steve, and they made me feel welcome. The parents, Ray and Oh, I can't remember. Marg, sorry. Had a little brain fart there. We just had, they treated me like their family, and they just said, "Hey, does Donald want to come with us?" And I was so naive. My parents and family never went camping, so I didn't know what to expect. But they were wonderful, and they let me go. Like, they're all. I was kind of a little bit of afraid of David's father, Ray. When I got older, I got to know him and saw that he was a real sweetheart. But he was a real big, gruff Italian man, and he was no nonsense, and he scared the crap out of me. So if he told me something, like, that's probably why I didn't touch the canvas tent, because of the fact that I was frightened by it. He was a big, overbearing man that scared the hell out of me. When I was a kid, I actually thought of him as Fred Flintstone a little, because he used to work in not a gravel pit like Fred did. He didn't ride a dinosaur or something, but I remember him taking us to his work, and it was like these big. Now, I could be getting this wrong right now, and if you're a Massaglio listening to this, I do, but it was kind of like a gravel thing, and I think he drove a big machine, but I'm not up on my construction machine, so I apologize for that. But they were wonderful, and they always treated me like family. Now, I had never been away from my family without them. So, when you're a kid, you're like, yeah, this is going to be great. I get a little bit of a break from them. I'm with the Massaglios. I really like them. And then, yeah, I liked all the Massaglios. They're wonderful people. Stephen, the older brother, he was friends with my brother Paul. When we first kind of met on Fife Street, we had an altercation, and he made me cry. And he realized instantly I was a sensitive person, and I thought he was a bully. But I have grown up with that man since, and been to his home, and he is the sweetest man. And we became, better friends as the years went on. But yeah, he has become such a sweet family man, and I can see he instills a lot of the values that his parents did to his kids. He also, adds to it, because we grew up in the 70s, so our parents did some old school things that they don't do, but it's great to see them all grow up and stuff like that. Anyhow, so I was all excited going camping. I'm going camping. And then, like, I literally remember when we were driving, we weren't even out of the city yet. We were probably not even a few blocks from our home, and I remember they had the, I think it was CKOC on or something, and Ingle, Dan, and John for Coatley's It's Sad to Belong came on, and I just got homesick in a big, big way. And that song is like, it's sad to belong to someone else when the right one comes along. And for some reason, I got thinking, hey, I'm with a different family. I don't know these people as well as I think. Oh my God, this is going to be terrifying. I kind of miss even my brothers at this point. But you start having fun and hanging out, and it goes away. You have spurts of homesickness every once in a while. And in fact, I still get it. I still get it. Crazy enough. I think it's called anxiety now. But I still get it. And there are times that I have overwhelming feelings of missing people. So, anyhow, back to the fun stories. So, we'd go to these campsites, and it was always neat because each campsite had different things. Sometimes they had bingo, sometimes they had a beach or a lake, sometimes they had, movies. Dawn came, they'd put up a screen, and we'd watch movies. And I remember watching, certain movies. I was just excited to be under the stars. I used a lot of Raid, and back then it was probably really toxic. I actually love the smell of Raid, but I can't even imagine the stuff it is. Like, now you put it on, it almost smells like a cologne or a perfume. It's quite nice, but I remember it had this really harsh, thick smell to it. Later, they upgraded to a camper because they realized they love doing this. And I remember they actually were in a permanent campground named Olympic Village. I don't know if it's still there. It's just before Waterdown. It might actually be in Waterdown. I could be wrong. But anyhow, I know it's I want to say up Clappus and Corners Way, and then you go out a little further. It's actually pretty close to Hamilton, but it's a nice getaway for them. And I remember going up there a couple of weekends. But I remember the first weekend I went up there. For some reason, I'd like these are the campers that, basically you go in and you see a little place that, they're very small. There's a bathroom. You see maybe like a there's a master bedroom. Then you see like a kitchen area. Then you see maybe a lounge area, like where you can sit some people. And then a small kitchen. And every cupboard, you've got something in because you have to utilize such a small space. And then when night came, we'd fold out like the kitchen area, like the where you ate, and then the lounge area would also, and then you'd have multiple things. And I think Steve actually stayed out in a tent, I want to say, maybe even the canvas trailer, I think. But anyhow, and I remember one year I had to sleep up with his sister Teresa. And it was up, like you actually pulled this compartment down, and there was this bed there, and it kind of freaked me out because I was afraid of heights. I also, I had slept in my brother's room a couple of, we actually shared a bedroom for a while, and there was a time when I remember being young, we actually shared a bedroom and a bed. But we shared it up there, and it was kind of weird because I'd never slept with anyone like that before, except like David, I slept with. He was my friend. He was a couple years younger than me. But I remember I woke up with a bleeding nose, and I just remember that, Marg was right there, making sure I was okay, checking, getting my clothes changed so I could, like, didn't have blood, big major blood stains, and holding my head back. And I remember Ray was making little jokes about it because that's what Ray did. And he said, oh, I may have to have a talk to this boy. I think he came on to my daughter and she punched him. And so this kind of became like a joke in the thing, but it gave me a little bit of anxiety because I was nervous about this. And now we're going back to like me being about 8 or 9 years old here. So there was no real, truth to it whatsoever. But it worried me because, as I said, Ray kind of freaked me out a bit. But, it took me maybe a couple of, moments to realize that it was only a joke and, and that, and so I have so many great memories about that, and that's why I wanted to talk. It being summer, I thought it'd be nice. I actually was going to talk about other things, but I have so much to talk about on this. I remember doing stuff like lawn darts. I know it's frowned upon, but it was actually one of my favorite games. I think because it gave me adrenaline, being a scared little kid. I always feared that the lawn darts would hit me because if you remember what lawn darts were, these are the long darts that you could just kind of lob and you throw them quite high and you try to get them into this, like a hula hoop ring. And they're now like illegal to have. But we were kids. Nobody got hurt when we played it. I'm guessing somebody got hurt out there because that's why it's illegal now. But I actually really kind of liked lawn darts, but I always feared that they were going to hit me and stuff. But I remember being out there always pretending like I was a superhero and these were my weapons. I was like lawn dart man. And yeah, it was a little lame. I also remember watching the royal wedding between Prince Charles and Lady Diana at the time. At the campground, because they eventually got a little TV, and it was not the greatest day, or it was not early in the morning or something. And I remember eating cereal and watching the royal wedding, and that's a memory I have there. I also remember that we'd go out, and I don't remember swimming a lot in the lakes. I liked the when they usually a lot of the trailer parks, if they had a lake, they also had an indoor pool, and I would count the minutes. I didn't swim very good, but I loved being in the water, and I'd count the minutes till it was like, okay, they're opening up the pool, and it's going to be open for 2 hours. I remember just being, they'd open it for intervals so they could clean it, probably because it was a very big cesspool at the time, but I didn't care at the time. I just went in and had a good time, Still hate people cannonballing. I understand it's fun and do it, but I hate when people cannonball next to me because I'm trying to just swim, relax, float, stay afloat because I can't swim. And then just having somebody cannonball. But I like seeing the people having fun, so I'm not a total prude. But yeah, I remember that. And then I remember sometimes rainy days would come, and we'd just be stuck hoping and praying it would be like, it'll stop raining, because we didn't care if it was muddy. We just, the rain was a bit of a downer, but they'd always have some comic books, and that's where I discovered a lot of like Green Arrow and some Batman and some Richie Rich, a little bit of everything, and it was a nice memory. And even just sitting there reading things, or sometimes we'd, do a little board game, and that was, a lot of fun too. They always, I don't ever remember being bored. I now see kids and it's like, oh, I'm so bored and stuff. Now, I'm sure I did have my moments, but I don't remember ever complaining about it because I was a kid who could easily just give me a piece of paper, I'll draw, or I like playing board games, or give me a comic or something, or, And yeah, I have so many great memories with the Massalios. And occasionally I'll see one of them. Actually, the one I don't actually see, I haven't seen, is David, who was my friend growing up. Yeah, as I said, I see Steve on Facebook, and I've been up to their home. I knew his wife that he met. I knew both of them, and then they got together, Beth. And it was, I've been up to their home and met their children and had some wonderful times with Mike. And every once in a while, I bump into Marianne, and Teresa hasn't been for a long time, but we always have a warm smile for each other when we see each other. Sadly, Ray recently passed away, but I'm glad I got to see him. I actually got to see him just beforehand, maybe a year or two before at a party, and it was nice talking to him and not being afraid of him. Because as I said, as I got older, I realized there was a real warm side to that man. And I've seen Mark a few times, and I remember after Ray passed, I sent a little note to her and thanked her for the wonderful times that they gave me growing up, and that I cherish them immensely. As I said, I didn't do a lot of camping, but they were the ones to introduce me to it. So yeah, thank you. I don't think any of them are listening, but if they are, thank you. Anyhow, I gotta clean myself up here. I wound up crying a little bit. But anyhow, when I come back, I'm gonna talk about my new respect and love for board games. I've always loved board games, and I may have even talked about them in the past, but I'm talking about them again because I found a game that's been around for a long, long time, and I'm absolutely obsessing over it. And Heather's giggling right now because she's hoping that we're gonna play this week sometime. And I'll talk about that, and then I'm gonna probably get to try to motivate you again. Because that's what I do. Anyhow, sorry, got caught in a stretch there. Gonna have some more Kool-Aid. You get yourself a beverage and maybe a snack, and we'll be back right after this intermission.
Hey! They're ready, folks.
For refreshment, that is great.
If it's early or it's late,
it's Orange Crush. Orange Crush, the drink that's extra good.
Fresh fruit flavor,
that's for me. It tastes better
naturally.
Orange Crush, Orange Crush, get some right away.
Visit our refreshment stand right away for delicious Orange Crush and all kinds of good things to eat.
Welcome back. You're listening to Devlin's Mondo Nostalgia Radio Show. I guess it could just be radio, but I just accidentally forgot the word show at the end of it. Anyhow, did some reminiscing in the first half, and no reminiscing this time, but this might cause you to have some memories, because I talked recently about board games. In fact, I've talked a couple of times about board games, and recently a friend of mine, Damien, suggested we do a retro board game night, and we did play one new game, but a lot of it we tried different games, like Trouble, played Monopoly, which I haven't played in ages. I remember there was a time I was sick of playing Monopoly, and then it was nice actually playing it again. We played, I can't even remember, Dominoes, lots of things, Yahtzee. It was a lot of fun, but it actually, since that night, we've actually played board games once in a while. As I said, sometimes I want to hang out, and so I just call Heather. Luckily, she lives very close to me, and she just comes over, and then Mike, me, and her will play. I remember one time we were playing dominoes, and I just looked and said, I think this is our golden years right here, listening to music and playing dominoes. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and we've explored some new games. I picked up the Game of Life because I remember how much I love that game. I picked up a game called Careers. We haven't played it yet. I remembered I enjoyed it, but I'm not sure. But we haven't played that one yet. And yeah, so luckily with being at Value Village, I can find a lot of board games. And you know, if you do go to a secondhand store, it's a great place to get board games. But remember to always check, because there's so many pieces involved that sometimes, you know, you get it home and you're like, I'm missing the thimble in Monopoly or something, which that's no big deal. But when you're missing something pretty pivotal to the game, could be a bad thing. So anyhow, recently I discovered a game, and I shouldn't say I discovered it because it's been around for decades. And I actually remember playing it in the 90s. I stayed overnight with some friends of the Scheibers. Yes, my parents carted me off to different people quite a lot, but I remember playing with the Mother Grace and Yuna and Tia, who were friends of mine, and I remember playing this game with them, and I remember really enjoying it, and then that was it. Never played it again. So, as I said, I've been searching around for new board games, and every once in a while I find one and add it to our collection. And then one day, I was at the dollar store, and I saw Uno. And I said, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but Uno, I'm not sure. But anyhow, I decided let's pick it up because I remember enjoying playing this game. So one morning, I was not going into work that day, and I asked Heather, hey, you want to come over? We'll try that Uno game. So we read all the rules and got the cards. It was like a little travel set, so we were shocked at how many cards you got. And then we played this game, and we absolutely adored it, because you can play it for 2 or 10 people. So we loved it. So later that night, I called Heather back over, and I said, why don't we play it with Mike and see how it plays with 3 people? And Mike, it's always hard to tell what he feels, but he seemed to like it a lot. And we've played it now, you know, we've had a couple other people join us, and it's become our kind of go-to obsession game right now until we find another one. But we used to be dominoes there for a bit, and it was just, it's a lot of fun. And I bring it up to people, and some people are like, oh, I love that game. Even young people. Some people brought board games up to my register, and I was cashing them out, and I said, yeah, we've been getting into board games and card games. And I said, have you ever played Uno? And she goes, oh, my granddaughters love Uno. So I love that it's been around for so long. I kind of wish I discovered a long time, but hey, I wasn't playing board games back a couple of years ago anyhow. So I'm just glad I found it now, because it's nice, because I sometimes rely too heavily on the TV or the computer or YouTube to entertain me. But it's nice sometimes just putting some music on in the background and just playing a game where you're like talking and having a lot of fun, giggling, you know. And I highly recommend it. I don't care what the game is, but I will promote it. If you've never played Uno, you should give it a try. It's got so many variations to it. It's like somebody said, I'm going to take my favorite bits of other games and just put them into one card game. Like, you're picking up cards. You got like cards that are wild cards that can change the suits. I can't go into totally everything, but this game changes the direction of like how you're playing and stuff. You can miss people's turns. I have a friend named Dave that we're always like, oh, he's gonna love this game. You know, there's too many games, cards in it that could easily offend, as in you're gonna miss your turn. And but it's so much fun. It's a good time. And I just want to promote, you know, the use of board games, because I'm starting to see more and more. Like, I've talked about how these game cafes have been opening up, and in Hamilton we have a Gameopolis down on King Street, which I have talked about. I haven't actually been in it, but I like that they're promoting it. And they don't just play vintage games, they play like role-playing games, they play a little bit of everything. But I recently found out, and hopefully it doesn't close after I talk about this right away, which happens, but I noticed they have a Japanese board game cafe on Main Street, just almost up around the corner from Gameopolis. And I thought that's really cool that they have that. And you can try some new games out and stuff like that. I'm sure Japanese just call it games, but for all purposes, it's called the Japanese Cafe. I don't know. They probably have another name, but it's in Japanese, so I can't read it. Kool-Aid break, sorry. I'm just glad that there's no big jug coming through the door. And as much as, it was fun to watch on TV, you kind of, as you get older, you realize that's just blatant vandalism. Kool-Aid jug just coming smashing through the door when you yell, "Hey, Kool-Aid." Anyhow, talk about going off on a tangent. By the way, I'm not getting paid from Kool-Aid, even though I've mentioned the name several times, but I am drinking the Kool-Aid today. But yeah, I get no endorsement for this, unfortunately. It was very refreshing. I'll probably need water or something after it, though. So I'm seeing more and more people at Value Village buying board games, especially when they go up to cottages and stuff like that. A couple times I'm like, "Oh, I'm gonna play some board games this week," and he goes, "Yeah, we're going up to the cottage, and they're calling for rain in the forecast. I thought it'd be nice to have Clue or Scrabble or, Battleship." And I'm like, "Yeah, no, totally. I totally get it, and I'm glad, because for a long time there, it was all video games, video games, video games. But the good thing is if there's a blackout, you don't need, sure you need candles and stuff like that, but you don't need electronics to enjoy a nice, healthy game of Monopoly. You can still stress out your family by, forcing them to pay big rents on your hotels in Monopoly and stuff. So it's nice that board games are making a comeback, and I'm really thankful that I found these board games, and I'm excited to see what other ones I find. Here Uno's been sitting on that shelf. Every time I see it, I go, I remember playing that. I finally took the chance, and here it is, a game that I absolutely adore, and most of my friends adore it. So it's nice. So I'm excited for what future games I'm going to find, because, I'm not just going for games that I've seen. Sometimes I'll see a game and say, "Let's give that a try." And we have bought games that we're still waiting to give for a try. But, I don't know if I'll have another official game night, but it's nice to know, let's play a board game. It's kind of fun. Anyhow, that's my love of board games. And if you have a board game that you love that I may not have mentioned, please let me know. I would love to know ones I should try or some ones I should avoid. I'm kind of the person that will try it. So you might tell me about a board game that's absolutely horrible, but I might try it. I do want to get into, a friend of mine gave me a Charlie's Angels game a while back, and I want to try that. Just because I know those games were kind of lame back in the day, and I know he gave it to me because I'm a big Charlie's Angels fan, and I do want to, and for the nostalgic, he got it for me, but I think it'd be fun to play it, as long as I get to be Kelly Garrett, Jacqueline Smith, because that was my favorite angel, because she was from the street. Anyhow, so I wanted to talk about some changes I've made in my life. I'm not going to talk in detail about every change, but about a month and a half ago, I had a breakdown that was really bad, to the point that I found out my friends were really concerned about me, and they called me on it. It scared me to see how scared they were. But what motivated me mostly, and that was a motivation, certainly, you don't like seeing your friends looking at you in a different way. But what motivated me is how scared I was getting. And so I decided I had to deal with it. And so I've made some life changes, and I will continue adding to them as I find things that work for me. I'm starting to read a lot of stuff, and if I see things are working for me, I'll share them with you. Just ways of, trying not to overthink things, trying not to be reliant on things, trying not to write stories in my head. Writing stories in your head is when you're like, you sent out an email and you haven't heard from them in a day or two, and you start writing these elaborate stories of why they haven't, and then usually when they write back, they have a really good reason why, sometimes they don't. It just, you know, life gets in the way. And so I'm finding ways to overthink things, or not overthink things, or giving myself time to think about things, and then, okay, that's enough. Move on. I'm trying to keep myself busy more. I'm, you know, if I can't be with people I want to be with at that moment because of, you know, schedule restrictions or something, you know, I'm trying to make plans with other people. I do like my private time, so that's not an issue. And to me, that's just as important. I'll work on projects instead of, like, spending all my time on the TV. Sometimes I do want to just sit and watch some old shows or some new shows. But sometimes I know it's good to get out of my head and work on some projects on the computer that I'm working on. Doing a little bit of creative writing, nothing big, but just enough to keep me occupied. I'm thinking about getting back into poetry again, but baby steps. The words are popping in my head, but they're not necessarily, you know, coming down on paper yet, but who knows. I've actually stopped Mike and I, we had fast food one day. Can't remember what it was, McDonald's or something, and we enjoy our McDonald's, but we noticed that as we get older, we kind of feel logy the next day or later that night. So what we did a long time ago is, in the 90s, early 2000s, we ate pizza a lot. I had a dollar store pizza. Not dollar store pizza. That sounds gross. You know, like a buy one slice, get another one free pizza. And so pizza was really cheap. So when I didn't feel like cooking, it was easy to run and get a slice of pizza, and that would be it. And I'd always get that pizza. Ugh. You know, there's like sometimes you get pizza gut or that pizza tiredness. And Mike and I, way back then, decided that we, like when I was a kid, pizza was very expensive. So we only got it like maybe a couple of months, every couple of months. It was like pizza, a couple of months, Chinese food, a couple of months, pizza again. Because these things were really expensive. But we decided to cut back on it, and we actually started enjoying pizza again because we're not eating it every week. And we decided that, because we were both admitting to feeling logy after we do junk food, that we decided that we're going to cut down on junk food. Now, we're honest. We don't say stop totally because we do still like it. But we find that we're enjoying it more, and we can actually feel it in our bodies and that. And I'm not the kind that's going to go healthy or vegan or anything like that. You never know, maybe. But I'm saying from this perspective in my life right now, that's not going to happen. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. If you've done that, that's great. Just for me, I don't like a lot of vegetables. And if I do, I don't see me living on them. But anyhow, so we've done this. And so like maybe every 3 weeks, we might actually treat ourselves to a McDonald's and we find ourselves actually kind of enjoying it. Or I've actually gotten, like, I love getting Filet-O-Fish. I've actually gotten the Filet-O-Fish. And even though it's really expensive when you don't buy it in a combo, I think my health is more important. I'll say skip the fries and the drink, and I'll go home and have, like, a smaller glass of pop. And I don't need fries on the side of it. And I find that this is also making a difference, because sometimes junk food can also play with, you know, now, I'm not a doctor in any way, but it does play with your emotions and stuff like that. You know, eating so much bad food can, you know, not help with your depression and stuff. So, you know, sometimes we'll do a more healthy alternative, like going to a deli or something like that, or just, you know, staying at home, eating something. But we still go out. We still order pizza, but we just don't do it as often. And we're starting to see that it seems to be working. Now, I'm diabetic, and I should be cutting out the pop totally, but Coca-Cola and pop in general is just one of my all-time favorite things in life, so I know I can't do it. So what I do now is I actually have days where I don't have pop, and then I enjoy a pop on certain days. Like if I'm going to a movie, I know I'm going to have a pop there because, you know, they usually have Aquafina, and that's my least favorite water. But I will drink Aquafina if that's all they have. But when I'm at a movie, I know I like to have my popcorn, and I know I like to have my pop. So if I know I'm going out or people will say, we want to do dinner out that night, I know I'm going to have a pop with that. So You know, like recently, I just had 3 days where I had no pop. It was hard because some days I have a bad day and I just want to go for the pop. It's kind of like my booze. I don't drink alcohol that much, hardly at all. But, you know, a nice Coke goes down so good on a bad day. So anyhow, I've done that. So I've had 3 days, and then the Saturday I knew I was going out with friends, so I knew I could have a pop that day. Sometimes I overdo it, though, but I'm still learning. But I think it's helping because people have told me, I think you're losing weight a little bit. And recently I had to go to a higher drug medication for my diabetes because I was getting a little heavier and stuff, and they were getting worried. And this stuff, I was like, I got to get off of it. And after a couple of months, they checked me out, and my numbers were incredible. And the doctor said, I think you are losing weight. And I don't know, she weighs me sometimes, other times she doesn't. I tell her I'm not a big fan of the weighing thing, because once I put a number on it, it either really depresses me or, you know, because I can think in my head, hey, I've just lost so much weight. And then, you know, they measure me and it's like, oh, yeah, you lost 2 pounds. So I go by my feelings. But I think it's helped immensely, and I love that it has, because, yeah, it's just, it's felt better. So that was something I've done. I've also been watching a lot of motivational speaking. I won't go into that because it's kind of personal, but I watch motivational speaking, and we'll call it that. But what's interesting is how much, like these, they're usually close to an hour. And I actually watch them twice a week, just in case I've missed anything. And I find that these have been helping a lot. Now, I find when I have low energy days, they can't. I'm going to go watch one after this, because sometimes after I finish watching, I'm very revitalized. And so I've been watching that. But I might talk about that later, but it's kind of a personal thing. So we'll go with that. I'd love to be able to be a motivational speaker. From what I do, sometimes on my statuses, I put things to make people feel good. And when I see the people that really need it and love what I'm doing, it makes me feel really good. So in some ways, I guess I am a motivational speaker, but I wouldn't mind taking it to a higher level at some point. But, you know, with my own down-to-earth charm, I don't want it to ever sound like I'm reading out of a textbook. And I certainly don't want to let people think that I'm some doctor or expert. I have gone through phases of this before. I went through a 3-month period where I was doing really good, and then I crashed last year. And after that crash, it was hard to get back on track. So now I'm about the month and a half period, and things have been going well. Now, I've had some, like when I say I'm low energy, I don't want you to think I'm depressed or anything. But in that month and a half, let me pat myself on the shoulder a little nicer than that. I haven't had any feelings of wanting to take my own life or killing myself. I get blue, but they don't last. Usually, sometimes after a few hours, I'm fine. I'm finding ways to deal with things, and they're working for me. I would just suggest, like if people wanted to know what I'm doing and ask me point blank, I would tell them, but I would also tell them, this is what's working for me. That doesn't mean it's going to work for you. People have told me about the medication, and I've talked about it before. I did a depression episode a couple of months ago that became, a lot of people watched it, and I was so thankful they did, and tried to explain what I go through when I go through these periods. And it was therapeutic for me to do, and so now I'm a little showing, you know, where I'm coming from that, because I don't want to get to that dark, dark, dark place again. But I haven't been in the last month and a half. And I've called this the fight of my life, because I know this is a fight I'm going to fight for the rest of my life. Now, I've talked in the past that for me, I won't do drugs for it, or I have not gone to a specialist to be diagnosed to see if I'm depressed and stuff. I'm glad. If you are and you're doing it, I don't look down upon you. It's not like I'm anti this. I just, for me, it's not what I want. That being said, I've also told people close to me that if I can't control this with learning little things and trying to be a better me, I will seek those things. but it's at a if I really need it kind of basis. And right now I'm trying to just hold my shit together. And it's working so far. But as I said, there's a reason I call this the fight for the rest of my life, because I know it's not going to magically, hey, I've done all the homework, I've done all the legwork, and it's all coming together. Yes, it has been working, but I know I'm going to be dropped into that real darkness at some point. But I'm hoping I'm going to be ready to deal with that. And you know, do what you got to do. There's lots of information you can read, or if you don't feel you can do it yourself, then you need to get that help. And as I said, if I feel that I can't do it, I will get that help. I just have my reasons for not doing it, and I stick by those reasons. But that doesn't mean I'm telling people I'm against drugs or against. I'm very proud of my friends or people who tell me that they went on drugs and it helps a lot. I'm very proud of you. It's just for me, I've made the choice that this is not how I want to deal with it. But that being said, if I can't control it myself, then I would or will. But it'll be a hard day because it's something I really don't want to turn to. One of my biggest things right now I'm going through is trying to lose my grip on my friends. It doesn't mean I'm walking away from them. I'm going to love them just as much as I have. I'm going to be there for them when they need me. But I've come to terms with the fact that there are some friends that just won't be there for you when you need them. And sometimes that bothered me. But I realize that's my issue, not theirs. Maybe they just don't know how to deal with it. You know, maybe it's easier just to say, I'll be there for you no matter what. Even though whenever you're there, you reach out for them, they're never there. But they still mean well. So I've talked about it before where you have to rely on yourself, and it's hard. So now I'm trying not to be so needy. You know, not to always talk about my bad feelings when I'm around them, or on times where I am feeling needy, trying not to like look like it, like sending a little messages like, I really hope we get to spend time together. I need time. I'm tired of begging for people, begging for people's time when there's other people that want my time. And so I'm trying, and it's very hard. Because I love people so much, and people who are really close to me I absolutely adore, and it's hard trying to loosen that grip. But as I said, I'm lucky that I have a couple people in my life that I do know will always be there for me when they need it, and it's not just words. And sometimes I don't need them to come solve my problem. Sometimes it's as easy as, hey, let's watch a movie together, let's go down Ottawa Street together, let's go play a game, get some Uno in. And I'm thankful for those friends. But they don't have to solve my problem. Sometimes I want them to just be there. But my problem is I want everybody to be there for me. And I'm trying to get out of that. I'm trying to realize that they have lives. They have other people they need to spend time with. And that doesn't mean they love me any less. You know, in my head, it tells me that, oh, they don't want to see me as much anymore. Even now, it's when I get a rejection, even if it's handled in the best way, and it's not even a rejection, it's just telling me, well, things have been busy and stuff. I take it so personally, and I can't take it personally, because I know it's not. They still love me incredibly, but I've just been so hurt in the past by giving my heart to people, and I'm just them throwing it away and treating it like it's absolute crap. That I'm sorry. It's hard. I'm going through a hard period right now, but I want you to know out there that this is not a dark, dark, dark period. This is just straight a little bit of weakness, and talking about it is opening up wounds. But I don't want you to think this is a dark, dark place. This is what maybe a dark blue place. This isn't black. This isn't I want to kill myself. This is me wanting to get better I want to heal my head. I want to heal my heart. Because I know I'm not going to just magically happen. I know this is something that I'm going to deal with for the rest of my life. And I'm committed to that. I want to be here as long as I can for the people who want me. And I'll still be there for the people who can't be there for me. I'll still be there for them, even though I want to just push away from them. I can't. It's Shawn Mendes recently wrote a song about anxiety and depression. He co-wrote it with a bunch of people. And this song is amazing. It's called In My Blood, and it's become one of my anthems for this fight. And it's talking about how you want to give up and you just want to end things, but it's just not in your blood. And I've been born a survivor. I've survived a lot of things. I've survived, cuttings. I've survived, suicide attempts. I've survived, abuse. I've survived so much. I've survived people treating me like absolute dirt. But I've survived it all, and I remind myself that. So I'm going to make it through this. I just constantly keep growing, constantly try to find ways to deal with it, and I will do it. And if you are feeling the same way, you need to do it too. And you can't always rely on everybody in your life, because there are people that will not be there for you, even though they say the pretty words and stuff. You know darn well when you put a status that's dark on your thing, many people don't like it. But you see, there are people that do. And that means, I don't know how to help you, but my heart's going out to you. Where a lot of other people are just, ignore it. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. I understand why so many people die from suicide, because so many people turn their back on you. They care about you, but they have other things in their lives and they don't want to dwell on that. But look for the people that do, because they're the ones that'll help you through. But your best friend in all this fight is you. And that's why now I tell you to go get an adventure. Turn off the podcast. Grab your Walkman, a book, a bike, whatever you do, the thing. Call up a friend. Maybe somebody else is feeling low energy, or somebody who makes you laugh, somebody who makes you smile, somebody you can be with where you don't have to talk a lot if you don't feel like it. Have an adventure. I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Find a way to have an adventure if you're listening to this late at night. Put on a show that is ridiculous, instead of catching up on your latest, Black Mirror episodes, put on an old TV show that used to make you smile, Dinosaurs, Full House, Brady Bunch, I don't care what it is. Put something different on. It's a different kind of adventure, but it'll make you smile. But if it is the regular day or early evening, get out there. Do something. I do appreciate you listening to this podcast. I hope you found something in it to at least make you smile or make you go, if this guy is a mess and pulling his life together, maybe there's hope for me too. And I'm telling you, there is. I had a great time. I'm hoping to have a co-host with me next week, but fingers crossed on that. And I look forward to talking to you very, very soon.